Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It is the 10th of November, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. CJ Miller and Greg Allen check in with news today, including an effort to get whole milk back in schools and how Purdue Ag ambassadors are promoting Purdue to high school students. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has a mostly cloudy Indiana farm forecast after wintry conditions showed up yesterday. And Friday, back and forth all week, closing the week with mixed corn, bean, and wheat trade. We'll have Brian Basting commentary on the way on the HAT Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
The push to bring whole milk back to schools and encouraging students to choose Purdue. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by Keystone Cooperative. If you're in high school, join Keystone Cooperative at their Wingate branch on November 18th to learn about career opportunities after high school. Visit KeystoneCoop.com/seed for details. For years now, students in school cafeterias have been limited to either low-fat or fat-free milk options. But as Greg Allen reports, that soon could change.
Lawmakers and farm groups are rallying behind the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act, which would allow schools to serve whole and 2% milk once again. Supporters say the move isn't just about taste. It's about nutrition and economics.
It was really supposed to be on top of efforts to reduce fat consumption.
That's American Farm Bureau Federation economist Danny Munch.
But we realized quickly that it didn't really relate to modern nutritional science, and that meant whole and 2% milk, the types most families buy at home, were taken off the menu, especially for school kids. Since then, milk consumption in schools has dropped. That's why there's been growing momentum to bring that choice back.
The National Milk Producers Federation says whole milk's return could help stabilize dairy prices and boost demand for family farms, especially in states like Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin, where milk is a major part of the ag economy.
There were 4.86 billion school meals served in 2024, and 85% of students grab milk. Skim milk has no grams of fat, and 1% has about 2.5 grams of fat. So if we switch to 2% and whole milk, that would increase 5.5 to 8 grams of butterfat per serving to each of those kids. That would boost up returns for dairy farmers because of that higher value fluid milk market.
Critics, however, worry that higher fat options could conflict with existing nutrition standards. But many parents and nutritionists argue that whole milk offers more natural nutrients and keeps kids fuller longer, especially in active growing years.
Whole milk is creamier, has better flavor, and it helps them feel full and cuts waste. It delivers 13 essential nutrients that support healthy growth and lifestyles.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Encouraging high school students from around the country to consider Purdue University and their College of Agriculture is the goal of the Purdue Ag Ambassadors. One of those ambassadors who I met recently during the National FFA Convention and Expo was Sophia Walker. And she told me it wasn't all that long ago that she too was wearing the blue and gold Indiana FFA jacket and wondering where she was going to go to college.
I was a part of the Tipton FFA chapter, Tipton, Indiana. Shout out Mrs. Nichols and Mrs. Hartley. They were my advisors in high school. I wasn't dead set on Purdue until probably my senior year. That's when I really decided that this was the place I wanted to be. It was the place I was going to be supported the most academically, professionally. It was going to give me the most opportunity. And I think that's definitely something that's been true to this day. After almost 3 years at Purdue, I can definitely say that I made the right choice.
But what was the number one reason that led Sophia to Purdue?
For me, it was all about the people. a lot of different colleges have great options as far as majors and everything goes, but I could see how much the faculty here invest in the students and gave them all the opportunities. I'm involved in research on campus, and that's something that's really been transformational for me as a student, getting kind of experience hands-on. It's going to jumpstart me into my career.
She added that it's easy for her to give the sales pitch for Purdue to high school students, especially those who are considering a career in agriculture.
Purdue has over 30 different majors in the Department of Agriculture across 11 different departments. We're also the number 3 College of Ag in the country, number 6 in the world. So really great academic programs, really great campus. It's a great place to be.
Learn more about Purdue University and their College of Agriculture by visiting their website, ag.purdue.edu. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. The strong north winds dominating across the eastern Corn Belt today. These strong winds are creating some lake effect still throughout your Monday over the northern part of the state. Now, most of this is close into Lake Michigan or directly within the shadow of the lake. Farther south, we are going to be seeing lake effect clouds pop up. People asked me over the weekend, hey, how far can lake effect go? Well, what are you talking? Lake effect snow with right conditions, it can make it down into central Indiana, but clouds off the Great Lakes in general can be seen pretty much all across the Hoosier State. And I think that's what we're going to be dealing with through the day today and most of tomorrow. Strong north winds still going. Now, as we move into tomorrow afternoon, winds are going to change to more westerly and then eventually southwest. And so I think the clouds go away more so tomorrow than versus today. And precipitation definitely goes away, at least over Indiana. And we are going to be seeing temperatures rebound nicely the second half of the week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm looking at temperatures getting back to above normal levels. We may not be quite as warm as where we were ahead of this last feature that moved in, but definitely seeing us back in the 50s statewide, some 60s down in the south. That's on hand for Thursday and Friday and even into Saturday. Now, Friday night into Saturday morning, a little bit of light moisture trying to pop up across central and southern Indiana, a few hundreds to a few tenths. This is just cut off from anything else. It's not going to stick around long term. Then we see a larger frontal boundary getting going over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday to our west. That front rotates through Sunday morning through the overnight and then lingering wraparound backside precipitation on Monday. I think we can see anywhere from a tenth to maybe 3/4 of an inch, an outside inch possible if a few thunderstorms can come together, which I think there is a threat of. Behind that, we cool down for the early part of next week, especially Monday afternoon, Tuesday. Not concerned about lake effect as much, but just north winds keeping us cool. And then we are dry for the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday time frame next week before another frontal boundary tries to come in late next week, Friday the 21st. It doesn't have a lot of moisture with it, but it does usher in some temperature change once again. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
As harvest winds down, it's decision time in farm country. Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance is here to help Indiana farmers make smart, timely choices about nutrient management. Because viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water start with informed decisions based on vetted practices. Backed by Indiana's commodity groups as well as conservation and ag industry leaders, IANA is rooted in empowering farmers to improve nutrient use efficiency, enhance soil health, and protect water quality to drive farm success and protect our natural resources.
Beans back on the plus side. Quiet and lower in corn futures, though. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. It's brought to you by AcrePro. Buying or selling farmland? Accomplish your goals with the help of AcrePro's land professionals. Get in touch today, acrepro.com. Final numbers from Friday trade on the way. We'll begin with market analysis, which I grabbed in the middle of the Friday session from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. It's a mix of markets going into the weekend with beans bouncing back. Brian, from the Thursday losses in a back-and-forth week in a big way there. Wheat is down over a nickel, and seemingly stuck right in the middle is the corn market, which seems to be a position that corn futures have held for some time. What's happening there, in your opinion?
Thanks for having me, Andy. The corn market is, as you said, I think in a sense marking time now that the USDA announced they will release a crop production report on Friday, November 14th, noon Eastern time. And in association with that crop production report, which will update yields for 2025 corn, they'll also release a supply-demand report that day. So we're going to get brand new numbers, as it were, for the first time since September. But the corn market's been stuck. It did break out briefly above those highs that were made there back in August, September. But it was unable to follow through. So now we've got a trading range about 435, 438. To about 428, so about a 10-cent trading range. I do think the market is waiting now on bushels from the U.S. Wide range of expectations, Andy. I'd remind your listeners for this report on Friday, November 14th. Some believe that the USDA could actually increase the yield from what it was back in September. And then there's also a camp who thinks we're going to see a decline, perhaps a notable decline from what we saw there again 2 months ago. So I think that could set up a recipe for volatility here. I'd remind your listeners that to be prepared for that report with their marketing strategies in place prior to that report, because markets can move very fast on fresh news like that, particularly news that's the first we've had for 2 months. But I think the market, essentially, Andy, is marking time in the absence of any other dramatic news, or either domestically here or overseas.
While the soybean market marks time until huge Chinese soybean purchases come in.
We certainly had some fireworks, Andy, as your listeners know, in beans last week. We did cool off a bit there on Thursday. And as you said, I re-entered the weekend, just a little bit of a rebound from that 25-cent decline we saw on Thursday. But now we saw the highest prices in November futures, Andy. You have to go all the way back to July of 2024. To see November futures approach that. I know it's going to expire here shortly, but approaching $11.20, you have to go back about 16 months. So fireworks there, but calming down a bit, waiting, as you said, for confirmation now of Chinese purchases. It's uncertain now how that's going to shake out. I'd remind your listeners that the tariffs case was brought before the Supreme Court, of course, this week. Whether that has any implications in terms of Chinese buying is really an unknown at this point. Chinese, of course, did pledge with a trade deal to come in and purchase significant quantities of U.S. beans, not only for this year, but also for the next 3 years. I can't say if that's in jeopardy or not, but the market, I think, is still believing that they will come in and buy some. It's just a matter of when and the quantity. But I think we'll also get those updated yields on Friday, November 14th for beans too. So again, looking at a wide range in bean yields. Some believe the bean yield a bit higher than what it was in September, same as corn. Some believe it's lower. So, but the beans definitely got a shot in the arm here recently with that news about China. And we're looking at some high prices here compared to what they were 30, 45 days ago.
So a great deal of importance that USDA is coming out with that report on the 14th?
Yes. I think it just give us confirmation of what these yields are. Of course, we'll get a final update, as it were, in January when the USDA does release its final 2025 production number. But this is we don't have these type of lags very often, Andy, where we miss a full month of report like we did in October. So again, harvest was just barely getting started when that September report came out. I would say harvest now is 80% more on corn and probably 85 to 90% of that on beans. So this report historically is very reliable relative to what the final number is. It could still change, but yes, very important Friday. And also to see what the USDA does do with the export picture now that this Chinese agreement has been made. the market will be watching, obviously, production for U.S. and also watching what the export forecast is. And the bottom line, Andy, that carryout, will it be 300 as it was back in September? Will it be a bit higher? Or will it be lower? And that's a recipe for volatility in the markets, and we think that's a recipe for opportunity.
Market analysis from Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. And Brian's number there is 309-664-2314. Now the final numbers from Friday trade, just a little lower in corn, December 427 and a quarter, down a penny and a half. March and May down an even penny, March 442, May contract 450 and a half. That's where we end. Up a dime on November beans, 1101 and three quarters. January up 9.5, 1117. And 7.75 lower December wheat, 527 and three quarters. The meats were mixed. December live cattle, 221.35, up $2.57. Lean hogs, December up 42 at 79.40. Deferred contracts, though, down about a half dollar. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.